Okay, let's unpack this. If you are anywhere near the hospitality space, you know that rush.
Oh, absolutely.
The dining room is packed, the bar is double deep, tickets are just flying, and you get this visceral thought.
We are printing money right now.
Exactly. We are absolutely crushing it. It's this adrenaline high that just feels like profit.
And that feeling, that rush of just sheer activity is maybe one of the biggest illusions in the business world. Any seasoned operator who's, survived a few recessions knows this deep in their bones. We confuse being busy with being successful.
Right. We confuse hard work with actual financial success.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we're diving into today, the essential, almost brutal chemistry of restaurant
It
finance.
all comes down to a simple truth.
The core conflict is learning to separate effort from income. The gospel here is volumes is vanity, profit is sanity.
And you can't get to sanity if your profit and loss statement, your P&L, is just a list of bills you paid last month.
No.
It has to be a diagnostic tool. It needs to tell you a story about why you made money or why you lost it. If it doesn't do that, it's garbage.
So for this deep dive, we've really been digging into the playbook from these high-performing operators. We're drawing on the incredibly granular wisdom from firms like Kelly Daniels Consulting.
Right.
They're the ones who specialize in turning those, simple accounting sheets into these precision operational instruments.
And they identify the single most common, and I mean fatal, error in restaurant accounting. It's an organizational chaos that just blinds people.
What is it?
Booking labor costs directly into the cost of goods sold, COGS.
I mean, okay, to the uninitiated,
Yeah.
that seems logical, right? It's all money going out. They're both costs. What's the big deal?
The big deal is that they're two completely different species of expense.
Yes.
They follow like radically different financial laws of physics. And if you mix them, you destroy the entire diagnostic power of your P&L.
So our mission today is really to show you how to structure that P&L to tell the true story. If you're tired of being busy but broke, this is it. It all comes down to respecting this variance problem.
Okay, let's jump right into that. Variance. Why are accountants so obsessive about separating capacity and consumption? Is this just, formatting?
No, not at all. It's a fundamental financial principle. It's because the way they react to changes in your sales, their variance is completely different. Let's start with the first one, cost of goods sold.
Okay, tell us about consumption.
So cost of goods sold represents consumption. It's the purest variable cost you have.
Meaning.
Meaning if you sell a burger, you consume the stuff for one burger, the bun, the patty, the cheese.
Right, 1-to-1.
Exactly, one to one. If you sell zero burgers, you theoretically use zero buns. The relationship between your sales and your COGS should be basically linear. They have to move together.
That makes perfect sense. It's tied directly to what walks out the door. So now let's tackle the other side of this, labor. Right. Labor represents capacity. And this is where it gets tricky because labor is what we'd call a semi-fixed cost. It's not truly
So
variable.
it's less like inventory and more like an insurance premium.
Yeah.
You schedule your team based on the probability of being busy, not the reality. You staff for the 7 p.m. rush you expect to have.
You're paying for the coverage.
You're paying for the capacity to handle that rush. But okay, what happens if a snowstorm hits? Or the local team makes the playoffs and suddenly 40% of your reservations just vanish?
Uh-oh.
You still have to pay that team you scheduled. That cost doesn't drop in a straight line with your sales. You can't just, instantly cut the dishwasher you promised 4 hours to.
Ah, okay, now I see the danger. I really do. If I blend those two lines and my prime cause, that combined number spikes from, say, a healthy 60% to a scary 75%,
They're flying blind.
I'm totally blind. I know I have a crisis, but I have no idea where the fire is. Precisely. You can't tell if your kitchen manager is over-ordering expensive steaks, that's a procurement issue, in account 4030, or if your general manager just failed to cut the dishwashers when things got slow. That's a capacity issue in account 4370.
Wow.
You are rendered completely helpless. You cannot fix a problem you can't even find.
So separating consumption from capacity is really about separating inventory problems from scheduling problems. It gives you two distinct levers to pull. Okay, let's get into the fun part, the blueprint. Where do we start?
You start right at the top with sales, and this is where you have to demand granularity. Don't just book total sales.
You need to split it.
You have to split your revenue. Food sales, liquor sales, beer sales, at a minimum.
But wait, I can hear a small operator listening and saying, why? Why complicate it? Sales are sales.
Oh.
Why is that specificity so important on the revenue side?
Because food and alcohol have wildly different margin profiles.
Okay.
If you lump them together, you're masking crucial data. So let's say 1 month you sell less pasta but twice as much expensive wine. A very good month. But since wine has a much lower COGS percentage than pasta, that shift in your product mix will actually make your total COGS percentage look better.
Even if the kitchen is wasting food left and right.
Exactly. So you think you're getting more efficient, but you're actually just misinterpreting a shift in what your customers are buying. You end up chasing phantom cost problems.
So you're fighting ghosts in your own numbers. Okay, mind blown. So once we have sales defined clearly, we make that first big cut, cost of goods sold. How detailed do we need to get here for those surgical strikes you mentioned?
A really robust chart of accounts needs to be super specific. We have to get past a generic food cost line that just makes people panic.
Right.
You need specific numbered accounts. We're talking produce is account 40-10, dairy is 40-20, and if protein is a big deal for you, you've got to separate meat 40-30 from seafood 40-40.
And the point of these numbers isn't just to be neat, right? It's for speed.
It's all about speed and management. Think about it. If your generic food cost is high, what do? You panic, you scream at the chef, you look at every invoice. It takes days.
Yeah.
But if your P&L tells you poultry account 40-40 is high, you can execute a surgical strike. You go straight to the chicken invoices. Did the price jump 15%? Or you go to the prep table. Are they trimming it wrong? You get an actionable insight immediately.
It turns the P&L from a history book into a field guide. Love that. And there was this amazing detail in the source material about purchase discounts and vendor rebates. Why do those have to be separate?
Because if you let a vendor rebate automatically lower your COGS, you're hiding your true raw material cost. You're obscuring the data.
Mm.
You have to track them separately to know what your food actually costs, independent of your deal with the vendor. It keeps that consumption cost crystal clear.
Okay, now for the second big cut, labor. Isolating capacity. This is where most P&Ls just lump everyone into one big wages bucket.
Which is a huge mistake.
Correct. In the back of house, you need distinct accounts for, say, a prep cook, account 4320, and a line cook, 4330.
Why? They're both cooks.
Because you manage them differently. The line cook is about execution during service. The prep cook is about bulk efficiency during off-peak hours. If one account is high, you know exactly which system is broken.
And same logic for the front of house, I assume. Bartenders are not the same as hosts.
Not at all. Bartenders, say, account 4453 are tied to high-margin alcohol sales. Mm. Hosts, 4450 are crucial support. Different roles, different costs, different management.
And there's this critical distinction the P&L has to make between an investment and just an expense.
Yes. Look at a BOH training line, account 4380. High costs, there are a temporary investment in your team. That's a good thing.
Right.
But high costs because you didn't send staff home on a slow Tuesday, that's just operational bleed. It's waste. Your account codes have to tell you the difference. So we've isolated COGS, we've isolated labor with all this incredible specificity. And by keeping those two separate, we finally get to the benchmark metric for the whole industry.
We arrive at the holy grail, gross profit after prime costs.
Okay, break that down for us, because this is the number every single operator needs to have tattooed on their brain.
It's simple. Prime cost is your total cost of goods sold plus your total labor. That's it.
And this number? This is the big one.
It's the report card for your general manager. It's the number that tells you if your entire business model is actually functional. It answers the question, can I afford to make and serve my own product?
So what's the benchmark? What number are we fighting to get under?
The benchmark for survival is pretty brutal. If your prime cost is running somewhere between 55 and 60%, you have a fighting chance.
Fighting chance to what? Pay rent?
To pay rent, to cover all your other fixed costs, and you know, maybe even provide a return to your investors. It's the difference between a real business and a hobby.
And if it's blown.
Yeah.
If it's up at like 70%.
If that number is 70%, your engine is broken. It's just fundamentally broken. I've seen people in that position try to save money by, you know, haggling over the trash removal contract.
Trying to save a few bucks on the edges.
Yes, but that won't save you. If your prime cost is 70%, the relationship between your product and your people is broken. You're not running a business. You are just hosting a very expensive party.
Wow. Okay, so prime cost is the gatekeeper. And everything after that, below the line, is where that silent killer lives. Death by a thousand cuts.
Exactly. And that area, your fixed and semi-variable costs, it needs the same granular attention.
Okay, let's start with the big one, occupancy. Most people just think rent.
Right, but it's more than that. Occupancy needs to include the full cost of being in that building. So yes, rent, but also utilities, your CAM charges, even trash removal.
So you get the true cost of just opening the doors.
Precisely. It gives you a key number for when you think about expansion down the line.
Then we get into the minefield of discounts and comps. This is where things get messy.
They get so messy, you have to break them down by why you gave the money away. Comps, like a free dessert for a mistake, or a promotional discount.
That's marketing.
That's a marketing expense. You're either fixing a problem or trying to drive future business.
But the source material was really clear about employee discounts. They're different.
They are completely different. An employee discount is not marketing. It's part of the total cost of having employees. It belongs with your labor expenses because it's part of their compensation package.
And even marketing itself needs to be dissected.
Oh, yeah. You have to separate your channel cost from your discretionary spend. So those DoorDash fees, that's a cost of doing business on that channel. You only pay it when you make a sale there.
Whereas billboard is.
A billboard is pure discretionary spend. It's a sunk cost. Your P&L has to show you the ROI on each of those different strategic choices.
And this all leads to the final non-negotiable piece of this whole puzzle. It's about discipline. It's about the numbered accounts.
This is non-negotiable if you ever want to scale. The numbers create a universal language. Maybe when you have one location, you can get by with vague descriptions.
But at five locations.
At 5 or 10 locations, account 40-30 must always be meat. It eliminates all the subjectivity. It stops you from relying on the data entry skills of a tired manager at 2 in the morning.
So you can actually compare apples to apples across your whole company.
Instantly. You can benchmark one unit against another, clean as a whistle. That's how you stop just running a restaurant and you start managing a real enterprise.
Okay, let's bring it all home. For the operator listening who is just running flat out, feeling so busy, but maybe the bank balance doesn't reflect that, what's the ultimate takeaway here?
The takeaway is this. This business is hard enough. Don't make it harder by blinding yourself to the financial truth. You have to structure your accounts, you have to isolate your variables, and you must respect the difference between capacity and consumption.
Between your labor and your cost of goods sold.
That's it. If you're mixing them up, you are robbing yourself of the ability to make smart, surgical decisions. You're just treating general symptoms instead of curing the specific disease that's eating your profit.
So the final thought we want to leave you with, especially as you look at this playbook from experts like Kelly Daniels, is what?
It's this. Give yourself the dignity of knowing exactly why you made money or why you lost money last month so you can actually do something about it. So ask yourself, looking at your P&L right now, are you managing a sophisticated, scalable business?
Or are you just hosting a very expensive and very exhausting party?
Get those accounts sorted. Get that prime cost under 60% and turn all that chaos into clarity.
Until next time, keep diving deep.